We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and it's Monday, March 27th, and we're getting close to the start of the Major League Baseball season. So we are continuing our primer series that we started last week, leading up until Thursday, opening day, where we'll have Grinders Live. In place of this show, I'll be on with Dean. I think Kirk Dees is on as well. And we'll be breaking down that first MLB slate. But you know what we do on Mondays? Mondays with McCool. You like that alliteration? James McCool. We bring him on Mondays. The co-author with me on the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports. 15-hour DFS masterclass that you could pick up at theoryofdfs.com. Everyone's excited in the chat. Give me those thummy thumbs. Wataz Defic, real-life pitcher. He's back for baseball. He's a real-life pitcher. He's back, right? Yay, MLB. Everyone's excited until... Everyone's excited, James. James, everyone is excited until something happens, and we'll be talking about that on today's show. MLB, oh, it's so easy. What, 6:30? You build your lineups, right? Everything's cool, right? 7 o'clock, just go away from your computer. You're good. You're good. Outside of, let's say, yeah, occasionally the Dodgers lineup isn't out yet. Oh, they'll be out at 20 minutes from now. Maybe I have to replace it. Oh, Justin Turner's not in. Okay, I got to put in a third base. You know, oh, we're done. We're done. No, everything's fun and games until there's weather in the forecast. And three or four of the games are, is this game going to play? Is this game going to play nine innings? So today I wanted to talk about postponement risk. And truthfully, that's like the number one reason to tune into Crunch Time.
Yeah.
Here, I believe it's free. I think it's sponsored by FanDuel, so I think it's free. It's not just a premium feature because Kevin Roth, you know, the number one DFS meteorologist in the world, he hosts that show, and he gives real live radar updates and assesses the probability of games starting, playing through. And you have to figure, James, outside of once you have the projections, right? We're not talking about weather when it comes to like, oh, well, it's blowing 12 miles out to this way or whatever, or it's 56 degrees here and 92 degrees there. How does that affect, you know, the performance of players? Like, we already have that in the projections, right? We got the ownership. We build our lineups. But it's this like, well, this would be a great game if it plays. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we factor, how do we think about postponement risk when it comes to building our lineups?
Okay, so there's a couple different trains of thought there. There's a couple different camps, right? There's the camp that you should pay a lot of attention and you should get your guy who works for the Nationals on the phone and see if they're going to postpone, even though there's no rain in the forecast for the next 2 hours, because you never know with the Nationals, just infamously terrible at it. And you can plan accordingly.
That highlights the first thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the first, just, I'm standing up for, because Kevin Roth probably has the least enviable job.
He has a lot of haters. Grinders. He has a lot of haters. Yeah.
Right. Well, only because typically it's from bad DFS players. Because sure. Bad DFS players do not think probabilistically. Mm-hmm. And weather people do think probabilistically.
Right.
So when the weather forecast comes out, and you can see that we have a weather report page. It is free. Roth's weather report is you don't have to be a RotoGrinder subscriber to get. Right. You get some of the weather edge stuff of like how it affects home runs and stuff like that. That is part of the premium subscription.
Hey, Walt, yeah.
But the actual weather report that he updates probably twice a day, typically in the morning and then later in the afternoon. But he will give updates on crunch time a half an hour before lock, especially on the games where it's like, got to check radar late. You know, it's a yellow orange. Got to check radar late to see, you know, where models are popping this stuff up. The first thing with Kevin Roth is that he is a professional meteorologist and he has access to radar forecasts and models that the public doesn't. Mm-hmm. Now, most, when you see your local TV meteorologist or, you know, the Weather Channel, they have those as well. What they're presenting on TV, what you have in your app, are very broad,
yeah,
based model. And it's almost like you're looking at an aggregate of like 20 different models, and then the precision of them is like, they know that their audience is like, well, is it going to rain here in Louisville?
Right.
Not whether or not it's going to rain over my house, but just in Louisville. So yeah. Remember, when it comes to Kevin Roth trying to determine rainout potential or delay potential, he has to base it around like a half a square mile in a city, not just all of Atlanta. So that's why a lot of times in the South, you know, a pop-ups. It's like, well, they're going to be pop-ups in the area, but is it going to pop up over the stadium?
Right.
Who the hell knows? The Atlantic metropolitan area is pretty big to forecast for that one small place where the stadium is. And then when he makes his forecast with the stuff like green and yellow and orange and red, he'll even put it sometimes in the weather report, but we'll talk about it a lot on crunch time, that he's assigning a probability, where it's like, does this game play all nine innings? I think 50% of the time, 75% of the time, or it'll be the type of things where batters are probably good. Pitchers may not be, right? It may be the type of thing where maybe there's a delay in the third inning and they waited out 2 hours and then they continue to play, right? Because he sees what the lines of rain look like beforehand and afterwards and everything like that. So he's assessing that probabilistically. And then the second caveat is that even with all of that, what do the teams actually do? Right, we joked around, you know, you joked around the Nationals that they've postponed games and it's literally not rained at all.
Right.
Right. They started the game in a delay, 2 hour delay, and then like, oh, there's really not going to be much rain. And then they just postponed it. So like the two things you have to look at is probabilistically, what is the chance that this game doesn't play? This doesn't play the whole way through. Mm-hmm. How does that affect who you should play? Because there's a difference between pitchers and batters. Mm-hmm. And then realize that the teams could do so Sometimes they play through. Sometimes you'll watch. You'll see. You'll put on MLB TV, and it seems like why hasn't the tarp come out on this game yet? And they just play through. They just play through light rain or some decent parts rain. And then sometimes you'll turn on MLB TV, and Roth has it as like a green yellow type of thing. Like, yeah, there's some light showers in the beginning, but probably gonna miss it here. And then they start. You see the tarp on the field, and you're like, dude, the rain doesn't come in for an hour. Why are they starting in a delay? That's actually bad, right? They should get an hour of the game in before this, but apparently they're choosing to wait. So, like, he has no control over that. But, James, when I said that it matters when it comes to pitchers and batters, can you explain why we're not talking about full game, postponed? There are some times where it's like, this game may not play it may not start at all. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be a lot of games where rain may come in the middle at some point. And why does that matter differently for pitchers versus batters?
Yeah. So hitters, if it becomes something where the postponed risk is to both, so there's postponed risk and neither hitters or pitchers are safe, means that it's very likely that the game ends up getting postponed, right? Like, that's where it's unsafe for both. If it is safe for hitters but not pitchers, it means that there's a good chance at a delay in the middle of the game. And the issue with that is hitters will come back out after a delay, but pitchers sometimes will, if the delay is long enough because their arm is not warmed up anymore, they'll just sit them and then they'll go into the bullpen instead. So if there's going to be a delay or a chance of a delay in the middle of a game that is high enough, then it might not be safe for pitchers, but it'll be fine for batters because batters can just go back out after however long of a delay. It doesn't really matter.
Right. And if the delay is long and then they continue to play the game, they're probably going to get 9 innings in.
Yeah.
Sometimes that delay happens in the middle of the game and they call it.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's bad for pitchers and hitters, even though the hitters have gotten 2 at bats or something. Like, you're kind of paying for plate appearances in DFS.
Yep.
Right. You really don't, you're not looking to target a game that you only think is going to get 5 innings in.
Right.
For when it comes to like stacking a team or anything, because sure they could. Yeah, you're right. There are some times where they score 14 runs in the first 2 innings. And the games gets called in the 5th. But good luck getting that efficient on your plate appearances. That in MLB, we've talked last week, like a lot of the projection goes into the plate appearances. That's why you build stacks. That's why you correlate. Because as the team scores runs, they get even more plate appearances and it just builds upon itself. Mm-hmm. So that's when it comes to the difference between whether pitchers versus batters in your postponement risk.
And just to tack on, if the game goes 5 innings and you get to keep your stats after they score 14 runs, maybe you're happy. If the game only goes 4 innings.
We don't have that anymore. It doesn't have to be an official game anymore.
They
changed that during COVID. I know you're going to say it's like, oh, all the stats get erased because it's not an official game. Yeah. They MLB considers all postponed games now to be suspended.
Okay.
Right.
Well, so there's a rule that I was not brushed up on.
Right. So there you go. So when it comes to actual postponement risk, let's say we have, this game is, Roth has it as orange, right? It's an 8 o'clock game. It's in Texas, right? Mm-hmm. Showers are coming through the Houston area or something. What are the ways, instead of asking how, what is the thought process or what are the ways that you could determine how that affects if you're more or less likely to play the pitcher, play the batters? There are ways to do it. I believe Nerdy Tenor, who's in the chat, maybe he could chime in. Some people incorporate that literally into the projections.
Mm-hmm.
Like they incorporate and they say, oh, this game has a 25% postponement risk. So essentially dock everyone by 25%.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously that'll dramatically decrease their projections. And sometimes you may not get much of it at all, but sometimes maybe you end up getting a pitcher depending on how many lineups you're building and what types of lineups you're building. Is that a way that you handle it, that you incorporate the postponement risk into the projection?
I think there's too much nuance to do it that way. I do know a couple of people do end up doing things that way, and I think that's fine. If you want to build it into a median projection and assume some sort of 25-50% chance, but I just think that there's so much nuance and there's so much context that goes into it that it's really, really hard to say that. I personally take a harder stance on it. I prefer to look at the weather and say, okay, it is this game, because I go to Roth's weather report every single day. Like, I use it every single day. I follow him on Twitter. He's important. And people try to say that he doesn't do a good job or whatever. And it's like, well, he does a better job than 99% of people. Like,
he does really such a to continue to praise Roth, that the amount, count up, if you go back last season and count up the amount of times that he has said that this game is going, is don't play this game, it ain't going to finish, versus games that are like, he's comfortable. He basically says, I'd be comfortable playing this game. Said, I think they get all nine innings in, and then it ends up getting like called at some point. Like, you'll remember the two or three times that it's like, oh, they postponed the game in the third inning, and like, it's only going to be a half an hour worth of rain, and then it's going to be clear. And they just decide to just, they're okay, they don't feel like waiting, they're just done.
Yeah.
And then the amount of times where it looks bad, there have been times where I've looked at the weather and go, Roth says that he's confident that there's going to be a delay. They're going to start in it, you know, they're going to start in a delay, but they're going to wait until this line passes. Right. And then they'll start around 8:15 and they're pretty good until like 11:30. 11:30, they may have some problems and maybe it ends up getting postponed then, but maybe not. But maybe they just play through some light rain. Like, he calls it to like a T. Count up how many times he says that and that actually happens. And that's like 30 times more likely that, like, he'll call exactly when the rain comes in, how much rain it is. And then it's just a matter of how the teams react to it. And Roth has been doing this for quite a while, that he knows kind of how the different teams operate, the different home teams, you know, the ballparks operate. They go, like, if, and he'll even make a caveat. I said, if they're patient, they'll get this game in. But if they're not patient, and then you have to, then it's kind of, well, are they traveling the next day? Are they playing a team in their division? Right? It's like the type of things where they're playing a team in their division. They could set up a doubleheader later in the year. But if this is the only series against the Mets are playing the White Sox or something, and they're in New York, and this is the last game of a series, and they're going to try to get it in. Right, right. So, like, you have a little bit of assessment on that. But that's why when you said nuance, it's like it's very hard to just put that into, like, I'm going to dock the median projection by 15% or 25%, right? And Daniel Hutchins said – okay, go.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, because we'll get to Daniel Hutchins in a sec, because that's a smart way to do it. Even apart from his calls that are like play or not, right? Even apart from the binary calls, I follow his stuff and I read his stuff specifically so that I can get an idea of where people are going to overreact. Because it's not, I personally think that the vast majority of the time, the field is going to overreact to his orange situations. I think they'll underreact to red, but I think they'll overreact to the yellow orange. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, if this is orange, then I'm not going to play the Yankees tonight. But the Yankees are facing like James Shields' younger sister or something. And it's like, I'm going to play the Yankees tonight.
Right. Even those are the orange considerations. We'll go over those considerations. But,
yeah. I just wanted to point out that is where I think Roth is very, very good. I think that he does a really good job, not only on the binary calls, but also on the nuanced stuff. He's really, really valuable. So anyway, we'll get to Daniel Hutchins' comment now.
He says with postponement risk, he essentially changes the batters from having a bimodal distribution to a trimodal distribution. Right. Yeah. So that basically there'll be a lot of zero, like there'll be a big hump on, if there's a 20% postponement risk, basically you're just adding like 20% more zeros into the distribution, which makes this big bump at the back end go up, which makes it a trimodal distribution. But the considerations is the important part. The considerations on whether or not you should play a game that has postponement risk. No matter how much risk there is, right? We're just talking about risk in general. It could be 10%, it could be 90%, whatever. That's, you have to determine that for yourself. But I think there's three contexts. The contextual variables, like we talk about in the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports, which you can pick up at theoryofdfs.com. The three contextual variables that matter the most when it comes to how it affects your building of lineups, I think is one, slate size. Two, essentially projection, ceiling, and three, ownership, which is, essentially we're talking about the kind of like the three levers. Yeah. So slate size, meaning that if there's a game that potentially is going to get rained out and it's a five game slate, like it represents 20% of the slate, right? From an opportunity perspective, it's like you don't have that many other choices. If it's a 14-game slate, like, dude, you have 13 other games to choose from. We're already playing a high-variance sport as it is,
and
we're stacking. So most likely, we're looking essentially in MLB DFS to figure out, to like, I want five guys from a team that's going to put up 10-plus runs, 8-plus runs, 12-plus runs, something like that. Well, when you got 26 other teams on a 14-game slate, the importance of having the game that has a potential rain out isn't as important.
Right.
Because it only had like that game may on average on, let's say, a 10 game slate with 20 teams. If all the teams were equal, the chance of the one team being the highest scoring team on the slate is 5%.
Right.
So let's just say on that 10 game slate, right? One game, two teams at 5% each may not even play.
Mm-hmm.
Like you still got a 90% piece of the pie left. But let's say you're playing a four-game slate. Like 25% of then it's maybe more, I'm more apt to take a shot on the potential rainout game.
Right.
Because there aren't many other places to go to. So, like, yeah, why not? Why not take a shot, depending on the ownership? We'll talk about that contextual variable. Yeah. The second contextual variable is just how well does that game project anyway? Right. If that game projects poorly as it is, and it has a chance of not even playing, maybe you just exit out. I mean, like,
right.
It how much better is that game compared to other games? Not how much better is that game? Because sometimes you'll get a New York, you know, the Yankees have a 6.4 implied total. Right. And you go, okay. And the other thing, Gerrit Cole's pitching. That's why it's a 10 total. But then you also have like a team with a 5.8 implied run total, a team with 5.6. You got cores going with two teams with 5.5s. I mean, and you look and you go, this game is the best game on the slate, on this 12-game slate, but it's not so much dramatically more than like three or four other games that do I want to take a shot on the potential rainout game. But that's so much different than, oh, here's a team with a 6.4 total and the next highest team total team is like 4.5 on a 10 game slate, right? On a larger slate. It's like this game, the Yankees are so much higher, right? The Braves are so much higher that, especially with the last contextual variable of ownership, like is the field getting away from it or not?
Right.
And you'll see during the MLB season that just because this game has rainout risk doesn't mean the field is getting away from it. Because it depends on how much rainout risk it is. Because we have situations where we know earlier in the day that it's going to be a mess in Cleveland. Right? It's going to be a mess in Cleveland. Cleveland has a decent total, but not great. But still good enough to play. You'd want to play. They'd be like the third best stack of the day. And people are like, well, they're jumping off. They're jumping. Like, dude, you're gonna get these guys at like 2% owned, because, like, everyone's been thinking this game is gonna get postponed. And maybe you hear on crunch time before, it's like the radar looks much better than it did earlier today. Said still very highly. It's still quite likely that we may even get a postponement while the show is on. Right? They may postpone it 20 minutes before a lot. And at that point, you could change to whatever you want. Right, you're not going to play the postponed game that just got postponed, but he comes on and gives like, Like, there's a chance that they actually get this game in. We may actually be able to start and get three innings in before some more of this mess comes in. And if it's just light rain, maybe they just get this whole thing in. And what ends up happening is that these guys are just like 2% the stack is like 1% owned, because like everyone just assumed this game is getting postponed. But we also get the other side of the coin, where a game is kind of like, yeah, it's maybe scattered shower or something. They probably get this game. Like, everyone's thinking that, like, yeah, they're probably getting this game in. This, you know, there's probably not that much risk in it. But there's some risk. It's a yellowish. And the total is high. It's like a 6, you know, if someone has a 5.8 applied run total. And then you get on crunch time and Roth is like, most probably you're good. But depending on how this line comes through in the sixth inning, this may be a washout. I mean, unless they're going to wait 2.5 hours, this may, depending on where this goes, this may be a washout in the sixth inning. And no one's paying attention. And everyone's just acting like the ownership is acting as if the rain risk is low. That could be a time, because of ownership, that you just like, well, if people are going to just jump on board a situation that has some variance in it, it's very similar to how I treat other sports. It's like high variance situations, the type of thing where if it's owned, I want to be under on. And if it's under owned, I want to be over on. So take advantage of situations where people don't think there's as much variance as there is. So that's how I personally approach it. And then there's the caveat we'll talk about next of, once you determine those contextual variables, if you're building numerous lineups, obviously you could build a lineup that I'll take a chance on it, and then a lineup that doesn't take a chance on it. Like, how do you set up your portfolio so that you maximize your EV of multiple scenarios? Are there any other contextual variables that you take into account? Because since you're not factoring it into the projection itself, on whether or not, like, okay, I'm playing 5 GPP lineups. Like, oh, there's rain risk in wherever. I'm not going to play that team, or I am going to play that team. Because most likely, we're talking about stack. We're talking about stacks. You're playing 4 or 5 guys from one team. And you're on mute.
I was going to say, there's not really that many more contextual variables. You didn't talk at all about hitters. You talked completely about stacks, but the same kind of contextual variables exist. Like, we're still worried about slate size. We're still worried about ownership. We're still worried about projection. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that is added onto that.
And Daniel highlighted a very good point. He says he doesn't play cash games, so double ups, head-to-heads, that type of stuff. But always surprised how many people ask in Discord, should I play the weather risk game? And in cash, the answer is almost always no. Even a small postponement risk is rarely worth it. And that's correct. And that's especially true on larger slates.
Yeah, on larger slates.
Because projection different. And most, to be fair, most MLB slates, main slates, are larger slates. Mm-hmm. We'll get some of these split slates, early 5-game, late 6-game, which are a little bit smaller. But if you take a look at the projections, which we have here at RotoGrinders, if you're a subscriber, the difference between many batters, unless there's some outlier, Wrigley 27-mile-an-hour wind blowing out, the difference between batter projections when there's 12 games, yeah, one batter may project a half a point more than another guy, and 0.2 more than this guy, and 0.3 more than that guy. Like, once you slap on, like, even just like 10% postponement risk, dock the guy 10% from his median, and like, you could play any of the other 7 other players in that range,
right?
And that would be better than taking on even a 10% postponement risk in a game where you don't benefit from variance, right? Because it's double ups. You don't get any more points.
I do think that there needs to be a caveat here for pitchers. For hitters, I absolutely agree.
Well, pitchers, you could do the same thing. Take 10% off. Even some ace pitcher or something.
Right, but my point here was saying that the answer is almost always no. I don't think that's true with pitchers. I think it's true with hitters. I don't think it's true with pitchers. I think that there are instances. I mean, this opening day slate, say that, I don't know, Shane McClanahan, he's 7,700 on DraftKings, all right? Say that he projected for 3 points higher than anyone else on the slate. He projects very well for 7,700, but say he projected even better. Say he projected for 26 fantasy points and the next highest is 23. But there was postponement risk in that game.
Well, 10%, if you take 10% off, it wouldn't, it'd still be the highest raw point pitcher.
Right. But that is what I'm saying is that with pitchers, I do think that you need to still like that. There are not going to be as many instances where the answer is just like strictly no. With hitters, the answer is pretty much strictly no when you're talking about postponement stuff. But with pitchers, I don't think that it's almost strictly no. I think it comes way, way closer to you're probably still going to play a very underpriced pitcher rather than fade them. But
right, but I still think most of the time it's still going to be no. That's why I said it. The answer is almost always no.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think for pitchers, a lot of the time you're going to take on that risk. If the situation is where you're like, if you even have to ask, I think that it becomes a situation with pitchers where you have to weigh a lot of stuff. With hitters, you don't.
I think if you had a general rule, if you played every slate,
yeah,
and said I'm not going to play any, and you played double ups and head to heads, you said I'm not going to if Roth has anything orange or worse,
mm-hmm.
and never play a player from those teams, I think you're fine. No matter if it's good or bad.
But I wasn't talking about orange. I was talking more like
you're talking about yellows. You're talking about more yellowish. Right.
Straight
yellow. I think if you never played a straight yellow guy in cash, I think you're fine. Green yellow. I think you're much closer because green yellow kind of means like 5 to 10.
I think if you crossed out anybody in straight yellow for an entire year, you would not be fine. In terms of pitchers, not hitters. In terms of pitchers.
Pitchers.
Specifically.
I don't know.
Because hitters, sure, I agree with you. But pitchers, no, man. Like yellows, because yellows, Roth is usually saying there's pop-ups in the area. Or something like there's like a chance of a delay because of a pop-up. And like if you're fading, like say that Shane McClanahan, 7,700, say he was the best projected hitter pitcher on the slate. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to cross him out because of a yellow. Like you're just donating. You're just donating that slate.
I think it all evens out after. I mean, there are going to be times where that pitcher is 80% owned and it doesn't even pitch. And you win the other slate that you don't have.
I'll disagree with that.
Okay.
We can disagree. That's fine.
Right. No, I mean, but I'm talking about if we did it over the course as a heuristic. I'm talking about a heuristic.
Yep.
I don't think you should be viewing postponement risk as a heuristic.
I agree.
That's the point that you made 100%. Before, that it's much more nuanced than just do you play this guy or do you not play this guy?
Right.
What is the context of the slate warrant? And when you're telling me that there's a $7,700 pitcher that is 6 points higher raw projection than anyone else, that may be the context of, yeah, it's only yellow. It's only a 10-15% postponement risk. I'm playing the guy.
The other thing that I was going to say is if you're going to just like make a hard rule that you're going to say yes or no to anybody with yellow, like you shouldn't be playing LBDFS because that's not the spot where you're going to take hard stands. That's not it.
Okay, now when building lineups, obviously we're primarily stacking in our lineups, but there are a lot of configurations that you could stack. So like on DraftKings 5-3, 5-2-1, you could put outside of a stack, you could play multiple one-offs, right? Mm-hmm. On FanDuel, you could go 4-3-1, stuff like that, and with a good one-off in the other spot. What I do, and I think this is the best approach when it comes to portfolio management, is that
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I use it's one of the best buttons we have, which I'm not sure where oh, this is the picture. That's why it's not there. This OIS button in Lineup HQ. I believe we may be the only lineup builder that has this. I could be wrong. I use Lineup HQ, so I'm not sure what other things have, but at one point it was the only one, and that stands for only in stacks. All I can tell you is that when I build lineups, if there's postponement risk on a team and I'm building GPP lineups, I just click only in stacks on all of their hitters. So essentially, if I'm going to make 20 lineups, there's going to be, remember, the distribution of outcomes now with postponement risk gets more and more bimodal, right? Gets trimodal. It's quad, whatever. You get tons of humps towards the back end and the front end because sometimes the game doesn't play and sometimes the game does play. So it gets even wider and wider. Because when variance gets wider, when the range of outcomes get wider and wider, the effect of correlation gets stronger and stronger. Like, correlation matters even more. So to me, when I play 20 lineups, if there's a game, if the Braves have a good total and it's, it's orange, I don't know. Like, and the ownership starts coming down and like, oh, people aren't going to be playing the Braves. They're too scared of the game getting called or something. It's like, okay, only in stacks on all the Braves. Then I will build some lineups with five Braves in them and other lineups with no, like, I'm not going to play Acuna as a one-off. I'm not going to play Ozzie Albies as a one. I'm not, because if the game gets postponed, the lineups that have them as one-offs are just like automatic zeros.
Yeah, they're just dead. Yeah.
They're dead. But if the game doesn't play, I have an entire lineup of zeros. So basically I'm just saying that lineup is just dead. I don't want to have 20 lineups. And then if the game doesn't play, it infects like all of my, like I have a Brave in like every single lineup out of 20, even though I only have five Brave stacks total, but I still have one off. So like when the postponement risk gets determined, the more and more risk, the more and more likely that I'm looking to like fork my lineups. Now, obviously, if you're only playing one lineup, you could just say, I'm going to take a chance on the Braves, and if they don't play, then I lose that day. I mean, that's whatever. If you're going to play three lineups, you may decide to, I don't want to take a chance on the Braves at all. I have three other spots. Okay, that's fine, right? But I think playing one-offs from postponement risk games, there's just too many other, the opportunity cost is so high. Because there's just like, dude, if you don't play, just take a look at the raw points. It's like, if you don't play, oh, it may be raining in Kansas City. So instead of playing Byron Buxton, you play Cedric Mullins.
Yeah.
Or you play Starling Marte, or you play Juan Soto, or Michael Harris. Or like, there's so many other, you're going to find so many batters in that same range anyway. If you have no benefit of correlation, like, just play someone else. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that how you approach it? Do you make sure that when you're playing multiple lineups? I know you typically don't play that many lineups.
Yeah.
But are you more inclined to just never play high postponement risk batters as one-offs, regardless of how well they, like, this lineup projects for half a point better with this guy with postponement risk rather than just take a guy that's a half a point lower?
Yeah, I won't ever play postponement guys as one-offs. It's not. And people will say, oh, well, I'll play Aaron Judge at 35% owned because the Yankees are postpone risk, right? And they're just like, oh, well, if it postpones, then, at least I still have a chance to min cash. And I look at them in their digital face and I say, I don't care about min cashing. I only want to win the GPP. So, like, if Aaron Judge is out, like, there are certainly instances, if you're playing the higher dollar tournaments, where if you play Aaron Judge and you get a zero, you still have a chance to win the GPP. But for the most part, in the $88 tournament, in the $15, in the $20 3 max, et cetera, you don't have a chance anymore to win that tournament if you take a zero on Aaron Judge in your outfield. But you do have a chance to win it if you stack the Yankees with Aaron Judge, because other people are not stacking the Yankees. They're only playing Aaron Judge. So I would always prefer to stack if there is postponement risk. And I take it as far as saying that most of the time, if the top overall team in my scoring percentages has some sort of postponement risk that is less than 50%, like we're talking like in the orange range, if the top overall stack for me ends up being like the Yankees and they have like a 30% postponement risk, I would love to stack the Yankees because they're not going to be high enough owned. According to my models, they should be the highest owned team on the slate, and they're going to be behind like the Reds and the Guardians, you know? So I'm always happy to take that risk on postponement stuff. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that people make, actually.
Comparing to ownership. I mean, we see plenty of times that the field doesn't mind diving into postponement risk. Right? We see slates where it's seven-game slate and there's one great game. Everything else kind of sucks because it's all good pitchers against one another.
Right.
The postponement risk is there, but it's not absurdly high. And then next thing you know, the 705 game locks. That's the game. And it's like you see the Braves at 38% owned. This guy, Dansby Swanson's 22% owned. You look like this. And a lot of times I'm sitting there with my fingers crossed going, I want to see that PPD. I want to see that update. Like, show me that up. Or they get in for the first two innings. And it's like, let's go for rain yep. there because people didn't. You know, I'm stacking the garbage teams, my vomit stacks, and hoping for the best. Right? Daniel Hutchins says, you could think of weather risk for batters as a pill you have to swallow that might be poisonous for your lineup. But you only have to take one pill per game, so why not stack?
Right. Yeah, there's no reason. And people will always say, I always get the, oh, well, I still want to, like, have some chance to cash. It's like, then play cash games. then go play double ups.
I think it's a fundamental misunderstanding of how close batters are projected in baseball.
Right.
It's a fundamental difference of, like, who's the best play on the slate? It's like, well, Acuña is the best play on the slate. It's like, so I got to play him no matter what. It's like, dude, it's an 11-game slate? It's like,
right.
Like, dude, play. You don't have to play him. If you're not playing the Braves, you could play Aaron Judge. You could play Byron Buxton, you could play Kyle Schwarber, against DeGrom this late. But I'm thinking, like, there's going to be so many other people in that range where if you told me that's like, oh, who's going to score more points, Aaron Judge or Ronald Acuña? Like, good luck determining what days that happens.
Yeah.
Judge is facing a good pitcher and Acuña is facing a bad pitcher. Like, Judge could hit three home runs off of anyone. Yeah. And Acuña could go 0-for-5 against anyone. So, like, wow. Don't think that you have to play these risk, the one-offs with postponement risk when there are so many other batters available.
Here's the hot stuff comment too. All right. You can stack the Braves and play Judge instead of Acuña.
You can do that also, right?
You can. Yeah. And it'll be something that separates you off from the field, because when you run stack permutations and you see, oh, there's, you know, the Braves are the highest owned stack, but 40% of that ownership is coming from Acuña. And all you have to do is just not play him. And now you can play whatever Braves stack with whatever combination of pitchers that you want. And that's a conversation for another day. We go over a lot of that in Theory DFS. You don't need to worry about it at that point. That's one of my favorite things to do when I have a stack, when the models find the best stack on the slate has like a 35% chance at scoring 8+ runs. And it's the Braves, and they have an aggregate ownership of 212% on a 12-game slate. And I'm like, okay, well, who am I not going to play, Acuña or Ozzy Albies? Which one? Or both, you know? We'll see.
The answer last year, I think, was just play Michael Harris batting ninth.
Yeah, it was just play Michael Harris constantly, yeah. Michael Harris and their catcher, right?
Travis d'Arnaud.
Yeah, d'Arnaud.
So anything else about postponement risk? I just wanted to go over through this because, I mean, this is going to be probably the number one talking point on crunch time.
Yeah.
Like every day of like, what does the weather look like? And just from from an aspect of not the weather as it relates to the player projections.
Right.
Not the weather as it relates to how does that impact the ball and how it travels, the heat versus the wind versus like that's all already factored into the projections. Mm-hmm. Postponement risk is not factored into our projections or the bats projections. So
yeah,
that's something you have to overlay on top of it. And I think that we covered like pretty much the thought processes of determining when and where you should be building lineups for or against. And you have to determine, you have to determine, do I think the field is going to, is this going to be underowned? Is it going to be overowned? Well, that's something you have to determine.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of dealers.
How many people are going to react to this? And then you also have to listen to Roth. And Roth is not definitive on stuff. It's like, if they're patient, I think this game could play. And it's like, what number is that? Is that a 70% chance of a postponement? A 50% chance of you have to? All Roth is doing is giving you as much information as he could provide, based on what he sees. He's not the one building the lineups. He's not the one playing the lineups. Like, you're just gonna say this is the probability of this thing happening. Based on his description, you may go, yeah, I think it's more like. I don't want to play this game. Like when Roth is typically going like hemming and hawing, a lot of times that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Right? Where people are asking about batters and he's like, I don't know. It's like I don't see how they play past the sixth to seventh inning. I just don't see it. I think if this line comes in, it's a washout. Like a lot of times I just lean towards, I'm going to call that a 75% chance of them not playing.
Yeah, I was going to say that's leaning into bad.
But you may determine and go, I think the spot is so good.
Right.
Right. Like this spot is too good to pass up. And it's going to be underowned way more than it should. I'm going to take that chance. Well, that's up to you.
Yeah. I was going to say there's two things that I'll just add on in this conversation. And they're for the full season. All right. One, it's a long season, so you're going to deal with you're going to get hit with some postpones that you don't want to deal with, and you're going to get hit with some spots where you regret getting off of a team. It just is what it is, but it's a long season, and that leads on to the next point of be consistent and try to be consistent with your determinations on whether you would like to play a game or not to play a game.
Don't buy into recency, but you'll see this in our Discord a lot of like, oh, every time I fade the rain game, it goes off. Or like, oh, whenever I play the pitcher, James, this is what ends up happening. That there's a pitcher, an ace pitcher or something like that, that we're scared that, Gerrit Cole in Yankee Stadium or something, in New York, there's rain in the area. And it's like, there's some postponement risk, and you see the field, you determine that the field is kind of getting off of him.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but I think this game plays or whatever. And then the game does play. You play Gerrit Cole at 12% ownership rather than 45% ownership.
Right.
And Gerrit Cole in two innings gives up four home runs and gets knocked out of the game in like the fourth inning. The game fully plays. And then you use that as a, well, I should have gotten off of him. It's like, no, from an actual standpoint of what you were judging, the field was wrong, right? It was under own. He was, if I would have told you Gerrit Cole pitches 105 pitches, would you have played him at 12% that slate? He goes, absolutely. I said, yeah. So who cares that he gave up five? Like he just happened to perform poorly in a spot where a lot of people, even with a good projection, was getting off of it because of postponement risk. Don't chalk that up to, well, I'm always gonna fade the postponement risk guy when the field is doing so because I don't want to get into that spot. Like, dude, that's the prime spot. I guarantee you that you ask anyone, like, if I knew if I knew this game was going nine innings or whatever, and you know, it's a pitcher that's has a high projection, it's like, I'm dude, he's always going to be underowned. If he ends up getting destroyed, then he gets destroyed. And there are going to be times where people go towards the postponement and it's like, oh, Gerrit Cole ends up being 45% owned, even though there's a heavy risk of that game getting canceled. You get off of him and go, wow, I can't believe 45% of people played that guy. The game gets called in the sixth inning, but Gerrit Cole pitched all six innings and has 12 strikeouts and gets the complete game credit. And he pitched like 88 pitches. And then you sit there going, I should have played him or whatever. It's like no. If I would have told you Gerrit Cole only pitches 88 pitches, you would say, oh, I'm not going to play him at 45% owned.
Right.
Like, you have to get away from what the result of the actual player performance was when all you're determining is deciding on whether or not to play a guy because of postponement risk. The game, I'm going to play this one-off batter. The game gets called in the fourth inning, but he just happens to have two home runs by then.
Right.
It's like, if I would have told you before the slate that you're going to pay $5,700 in the outfield on a 13-game slate for an outfielder that, like, has two at-bats, would you do it? They go, no. So then who cares that he just hit two home runs?
Yep. All that. I agree. All that.
Okay. So send in your questions, MLB DFS questions. Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll be going over leverage as a concept in MLB DFS. We covered projection, covered correlation last week. Going to cover leverage Tuesday and Wednesday. Friday, there's no MMA show. So there's just going to be a regular pregame show. Thursday is Grinders Live. So you'll see a lot of times, if you're new here, Wednesdays and Thursdays, they're oftentimes afternoon MLB DFS slates. And on those days, this show essentially gets preempted by MLB Grinders Live, our normal Grinders Live show. But I'm usually on that show anyway. So like you won't see a pregame show thumbnail, but you'll see a Grinders Live thumbnail with my face on it also. So it's probably and me haranguing Dean to get up early, right? Because he's not used to getting up early. I am, right? That's why they schedule me, right? Because pretty much anyone that's going to be on Grinders Live today for NBA is probably sleeping currently, right? Like, no one gets up this early other than me. This early. It's only 11 a.m.
I was going to say, man.
You've been up for half the day already.
Yeah, you wake up at like 8:45 a.m. and slam a Red Bull before the show. And I'm like, I've been up since 5:45. Like, you don't
dude, I didn't get, I did not get out of bed. This is an 11 a.m. show. I did not get out of bed until 10:20.
Yeah, you don't get up early. It's nobody. 10:20. That's not
right. I take my poop, my morning poop. Right. I get my little Starbucks Frappuccino thing. And I'm good to go, right? This is the beginning.
I'm almost ready for my second cup of coffee by the time that we're done with the show. There are some days where I have my second cup of coffee during this show.
What time do you go to sleep, though?
9:30, 10 maybe.
How old are you? What are you?
What are you,
84 years old? Who goes to sleep that early?
I'm 30, and I have a 2-year-old son. Like, I'm tired, man.
Who goes to sleep that early? It's very rare I fall asleep earlier than like 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I cannot stay up till 1 a.m. if I try. I did. Yeah,
that,
I
you, did know, you, want... know how, you know how you do it, James? By not waking up until 10 a.m.
that's fair. I did want to point out one comment really quick. Mike Ostry said you can still play small single entry stuff without stacking, especially higher stakes stuff. I just want to highlight this really quick and say, don't do that. From a person who gives fantasy advice and like has a site and puts things together, people go home run hunting, and that's how you like basically guarantee yourself a negative ROI season. Like, you will get shot. Unless you hit a major tournament and win $100,000, and then you're probably in the black only because it's hard to lose $100,000 over the course of a season if you're a regularly small volume player. You should be stacking in MLB DFS. Correlation is vitally important. We
for
talk
GPPs,
a lot
GPPs. The clear
for GPPs,
point
right?
No
GPPs.
Matter the size of GPPs,
right? You should always be stacking in GPPs. because the field does not stack enough. In cash games, that's a different conversation. You don't have to stack in cash games by any means. But in GPPs, always be stacking. We talk about it a lot in Theory of DFS in both books. It's well documented by other really smart people. You should always be stacking. Home run hunting is fun, but just don't do it with any regular.
I explained it last week, James. I went through like numerically the strength of correlation in MLB DFS is strong enough that the more and more batters that you add to your lineup from the same team, the projection of your lineup and the range of outcomes of your lineup goes up more and more than in almost any other sport,
right?
Outside of like esports,
right?
Right, like LOL or something like that. So, like, if you're gonna take like eight guys from eight different teams, like you get whatever their projection is, you get no correlation benefits at right. all. But five guys, like playing five guys from the same team, is the functional equivalent of having an extra spot in your lineup.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Like when, like if you were to just do it mathematically by how much projection you get, you play five players on DraftKings in your lineup. It's the functional equivalent of you playing with, you're not paying for it. You're still playing a 50K level lineup, but you have some utility spot there with some guy with some 8 to 10 point projection.
I was going to say, it's basically an extra $5,000. Right. On your lineup on DraftKings.
Probably more than that.
Sure. Yeah.
Obviously the projections of the players, Matt. I mean, like,
yeah,
the better and better the team, like the more value and value oriented the team is, the more money technically you're right. gaining yeah. by that.
So,
in theory, James,
yeah,
you can play 8 one-offs. As long as those 8 one-offs equal a projection of a lineup that costs $5,000, $8,000 more than it.
Right. Yeah.
So they, yeah, sure. Maybe there happens to be a slate where that is possible, where there's some weird reason why certain one-offs from eight different teams project for 10 more points than any other lineup or something. But for the most part, in yeah. GPPs, the correlations are so strong that the more and more you add to it, in GPPs, that's what you should be doing. You're looking for the widest range of outcomes.
Yep.
Good luck with the home run hunting.
You don't just like, if you're ever going to play like two stud pitchers and you end up having to stack the Pirates because of it,
that's better than just right.
That's fine. Because like that, the stack of the Pirates of five Pirates is probably still as good as a stack of like,
Or five one-offs from five different random teams.
Yeah, right.
That are better than the Pirates, right?
Right.
Like, let's say I could play the second baseman from the Twins, the first baseman from the Dodgers, like, and you put them and for the same price or something like that as five Pirates with a 3.8 run total.
Yeah.
I'd rather take the Pirates with a 3.8 run total than five random batters, even if the five random batters have a 4 or 5 point higher median projection. Because once I stack five guys, I make up those 5 points in median projection, and then I surpass it by another 5 points.
Yeah, you gain an extra like 7 to 12 points in median expectation.
Right.
So that's, you should always stack. Like,
why not get one in a progressive payout contest? If you're getting that benefit, why shouldn't you? Like, it has nothing to do with how many other people do stack or don't stack. It's like, do you want an extra 8 to 12 points of projection for doing nothing
right.
other than playing five multiple guys from the same team? Then other people are going to take it, right? Why shouldn't you? Regardless if you're playing the but I don't want to play the chalky stack. Like, dude, even if you threw out ownership, like, dude, don't you want to play the highest projected lineup that has five guys from the same team? Like right. That is a higher projected lineup in mathematical expectation than your cash lineup that you play with just eight random people.
Right.
Right. So, like, truthfully, even it wouldn't be completely off in double ups to play a five man. Like, it's not as wrong. The thing is that because double ups are not progressively paid out, coming in 50th in a 100-man 50-50 pays the same as first. Obviously, the more correlation you add to your lineup, the higher the variance of the lineup. Like, your goal in theory, in double ups, is to have the same expectation with the least amount of variance.
Yeah, you literally want to place like 45th out of 100.
Right. So, like, if you were it's quite possible that the expectation of a stacked the top stacked lineup versus the unstacked lineup is about the same, just that one will have more variance than the other. And when given the choice between two lineups with similar EVs, I'll take the one with the lower variance, right? When it comes to cash games, right? You know how the new people are going to come in and get the, I'm going to get that question probably. I'll probably answer that during the season probably 84 times.
Yep. Just wanted to answer it now before the season even gets started. Just get you warmed up.
And people could ask those questions. They could ask anything you want. Remember, this is unstructured learning. Email your questions in questions@theoryofdfs.com. MLB or otherwise, anything you want. DFS related, sports betting, prop betting, prize picks, underdog, anything. Anything you want. questions@theoryofdfs.com. That's where we get the questions for the show. That's where the topics come from. So if I don't get questions, I can't give you answers. And then James, all your stuff is over at paydirtdfs.com.
Yep, paydirtdfs.com. I'll have a primer on the new MLB tools either today or tomorrow. Built some really, really cool stuff, some really intuitively strong stuff. So pretty excited for that. And if you did not already read the email, if you're a member of PayDirt, I did send out an email talking about some changing to pricing structure and some updates and stuff like that. So make sure you check your email for that.
And if you'd like to get MLB projections, ownership, everything like that, sign up to RotoGrinders Premium Combo Premium. You get NBA, NFL, MLB, soccer, MMA, everything. $10 off your first month. Click on that link in the description, and I'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking about Tuesday and Wednesday, leverage, right? Leverage in MLB DFS as a concept. Answering your questions, like I always do here. Hit those thummy thumbs on your way out the door. Helps us out. I'll see you tomorrow, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.